Hi everyone, this is Cole Kastner from the University of Virginia. You're listening to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Welcome back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast, brought to you by our presenting partner, Simplicity Group, featuring Big Ten Network, ESPN, and Inside Lacrosse analyst, and my Homewood homie, Mark Dixon. I am your host, Dan Flynn. It's May Madness time. 16 teams, 8 games, all vying to keep their season alive with a coveted trip to the quarterfinals. And we'll talk to Virginia star defenseman Cole Kastner as he gets ready for his NCAA tournament game against St. Joseph's. Huge weekend ahead, lots to get to. So Dixie, let's get it. Dixie's the best time of the year.
It is. Here we are. Happy NCAA tournament. You almost threw your arm out doing the whip. That's how fired up you are, ready for action. It's great. You know, it really is. And I think this year, I thought the selection committee did a really good job. I think we have some really interesting first round matchups. And away we go. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so Sacred Heart gets in for the first time. That's really was really cool to see. And then, you know, I know we talked about this last year, but Utah and Michigan last year was them making their first appearances. Now they're making back-to-back appearances. Like, what's the significance of that?
I think when you look at Utah, that's a team that has had success under Andrew McMinn, who really established the Robert Morris program in Pittsburgh. And they went to multiple NCAA tournaments. Now he's replicating that in Utah. And I think it's huge because it's a team out west that gets a ton of support from the school. And they play a really fun, fast-paced brand of lacrosse. So I've got that game on ESPNU 230 on Saturday. And I'm looking forward to them coming east, taking on Duke. They made the tournament last year and got bounced by Notre Dame, the eventual national champion. And I think they took a lot of lessons from that loss. Michigan, and I know we'll talk about this as we get into it, but second year in a row, it was like deja vu is what we called it on the broadcast Saturday night. Them, same path to the NCAA tournament that they took in 2023. And this is, I think, is a probably, I don't want to say a better version, it's a different version, but it's a version that has some grad transfers, the experience of last year's tournament. They're playing at a really high level. So very significant that you're having Utah and Michigan, members of Power Five conferences, showing the rest of the lacrosse world what can happen. Attention, other Big Ten schools, ACC schools, SEC, even though there aren't any SEC teams right now playing men's Division I lacrosse, if you want to go down that road, this is what can happen when you make that commitment. Your team could be going to the NCAA tournament with legitimate hopes of getting to championship weekend.
In other news, the PLL draft was this week. Any surprises there? I think at the top of the draft, it was went according to plan, at least the first few picks, with Brennan O'Neill going first and Schellenberger going second. Your guy, Shane Knobloch, fourth pick in the draft to the Carolina Chaos. You've been talking and pumping that guy up all season long as a candidate for midfielder of the year. And, certainly the pro coaches thinks he's one of the best.
Love Knobloch. Knew he would be too irresistible to pass up, especially when you look at the Chaos and what their roster makeup is. I think some people might be surprised at Pat Cavanaugh dropped down. He wasn't in the top three. And then Mason Woodward, a player who's been fantastic for Marquette over the years, going in the first round. I think everybody was looking at that, Jake Pacino from Albany. But Mason Woodward is as strong as they come. And Chris Bates, head coach of the defending PLL champion, now Utah Archers, was pretty adamant about, yeah, this is our dude. This is our guy. No way were we picking anyone else. So, it was a fun, it was cool watching the draft and watching these guys that I've covered for years take that next step in their career.
Yeah, and it was also fun. A lot of the guys that we've been able to interview and get to know a little bit over the course of this season, seeing them get selected and watching their pro careers begin, it was really exciting. One of those guys we're going to talk to right now, Cole Kastner, star defenseman for Virginia, the last pick of the draft, but has lots of options available for his future. So let's bring in Cole and get to know him a little bit better. Our guest today is Virginia defenseman Cole Kastner, two-time captain, all-ACC performer, and two-time to Wharton nominee, will help lead the sixth-seeded Cavaliers when they host St. Joseph's on Saturday in the NCAA first round. Cole, thanks for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Cole, thanks for joining us. We know it's a really busy time of year, but an exciting time of year. We're into the NCAA tournament. Virginia, you guys will kick things off at noon on Saturday, ESPNU versus St. Joseph's. You get a home game as the number six seed. What was the atmosphere like, the watch party for Virginia this past Sunday night to see where you'd be placed and who you'd be playing?
Yeah, it was definitely a special moment. I think it's really unique that in my 4 years here, we've always had a watch party and we've been fortunate enough to make it in the tournament every year. And that's such a blessing for someone like me and for the rest of our guys here. So really great to have that background and ability to understand what comes in May and how every given week is a different challenge. And having the perspective, just focus 1 week at a time, I think is huge. And the St. Joseph's team that we're going to play is a great team. Obviously it was impressive watching them make their run in their tournament and see this winning streak that they've been on for the last couple of months here. They have, you know, talent across the board. So we have a lot of respect for them, and I'm looking forward to having them here at Klöckner.
How would you best describe the season for Virginia? You guys got off to the 10-1 start. It's been a rough couple of weeks for the Cavaliers. In your estimation, how, you know, if somebody were to say, hey, how's it going? What would the answer be?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's going really well, and it's something that might seem a little different from an outsider's perspective. You know, we dropped a couple games in a row and, you know, obviously we're playing against great opponents and don't necessarily feel the best about the product that we put out there in the last couple of weeks. But that being said, we have a whole resume of work behind us and stuff that we can lean on that we're confident will help us put the best result out there this coming Saturday and beyond that. So I think we're in a unique spot. It's a different spot than I've been in my time here. And that being said, I'm more confident than ever in the group that we have because we've been tested. We've played through some adversity. We've had some great, you know, triumphs and stuff that have given us confidence. And we'll continue to build that going forward.
You mentioned Klöckner this weekend. And a lot of players that we talk with will say that might be their favorite place to play for an opponent. This will be your last game on Klöckner. You know, win or lose, it's the way the NCAA tournament is set up. How would you best describe playing at that venue?
Yeah, it's so special. Our last game that potentially could have been our last game against Notre Dame was senior day. And that was a really special moment. I remember 4 years ago looking at the seniors graduating, think about the whole body of work that they put in, everything they'd sacrificed, all the effort that they had made for me and the other younger guys to feel, you know, as valuable as part of a team as anyone else. And it was a really cool moment to kind of reflect on that and make sure, you know, really take a step back and say, hey, am I doing the important things to make these other guys, you know, feel like they're valued and feel like they're very important parts of the Virginia lacrosse team. And I'm confident that everyone feels that way. And it's really exciting to get back up on Klöckner and you know, let that out and have a good day.
Well, I think when a lot of people think of your Virginia team this particular season, they think of the offense. There's an incredible collection of talent on that end of the field, but you anchor the defense. Who are some of the unsung heroes of the Cavalier defense?
Man, there are a lot of them. There are a lot of them. I mean, we're so lucky to have those offensive guys. We go against them every day and they make us so much better. So, you know, it's a great relationship there. But in terms of the guys on the defense that make it all work, if you just look at our short stick D midi crew, they're amazing. You know, it starts with a six year guy, Chase Yeager, who brings so much valuable experience, is an incredible person on and off the field, an amazing athlete, does such a great job there. Noah Chismar, I could go on and on about him. He has this disregard for his own body when he plays. It's a craziest thing, but he'll do anything to make a play out there. And then that starts rubbing off on younger guys like Wills Burt and Will Erdman, who have done amazing things and will continue to get better and better. So I'm really confident that this defensive group will continue improving throughout the course of, you know, whatever's left for us in this season and after I'm gone and in the next couple of years too. So we're very, very lucky.
I watch a lot of college lacrosse. I think we all do, but I watch like four times as much college basketball. So I'm intrigued by your move and really excited for you. You're a Palo Alto native, and it seems like Stanford was kind of the place you wanted to go, but they had a coaching staff change. So talk me through the whole process of sort of identifying like where you want to, where your desired destination would be. And also, you know, the whole idea that you've been playing elite level college lacrosse and now you want to go play basketball. But how that whole process of throughout that coaching change and arriving on Coach Kyle Smith's team for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always loved college basketball. Like growing up as a kid, the month of March was just so special for me, watching March Madness and seeing, you know, these amazing tournaments, these amazing moments. And I knew I always wanted to get there in high school. Basketball was always my number one priority, going to all these tournaments, trying to get recruited. And I was lucky to have a bit of a relationship with the Stanford staff from my high school days, just being a local kid and playing for some good AU teams in the Northern California area. Fast forward to, I guess, last year, I figured it was about time to start trying to have these conversations with college coaches saying, hey, I'm not entering the transfer portal for this next year. I'm going into my senior year to play lacrosse in Virginia. But for a fifth year, there's a guy named Pat Spencer. Obviously, you guys are both familiar, and he kind of paved the path to make this happen. So I want to be next. Like I want to give him my shot. And was really lucky throughout the summer, obviously just proximity to Stanford and knowing some of the guys on the team. And throughout the fall to kind of pick up these conversations and get a lot of advice from the coaching staff, how to, you know, obviously it's a difficult school to identify academic programs to apply to and competitive for the application process and all that. And they really helped me sort that out and give me great advice there. And then as we, I guess, fast forward to January, February, March era, there was a coaching change, as you alluded to. And the old coaching staff had been so supportive from top down of me, you know, joining the program, which is fantastic. Considering, you know, I'm a guy who doesn't have basketball experience for the last 4 years, but obviously I've been playing collegiate sport, and they really helped me navigate the transition to Coach Kyle Smith and some of the other guys coming in there. And so I'm incredibly grateful to have it. It's a dream come true to be playing in my hometown for such an amazing university in their first year in the ACC, which obviously I'm a little more familiar with, you know, being here the last couple of years. And it really is a dream come true for me. And I'm looking forward to it.
Staying on the basketball theme, when you look at your close defense at Virginia, our buddy Anish Shroff describes you as Jurassic Park. You're 6'7", Schroeder 6'5", Kaloji 6'2". He's the runt of the litter. What's it like to play with such a long, tall defense?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely kind of a, you know, a unique style of play. We're lucky to have so much length and so much athleticism, you know, coupled with that. For example, like, you know, I came in my first year, had great mentorship from Cade and Kyle and Q, Scott Bauer, Jared Connors, all those guys. They helped me develop a little more of our Virginia style of play with my, you know, athletic frame. That was incredibly helpful. Move forward a year, George Fulton comes in. He's been incredible this year. You know, he's just as tall as I am, moves incredibly well, is amazing off the ground, great communicator. He brings his own style of play in there. Fast forward again, then you got John Schroeder coming in, who moves better than all of us, is a ridiculous athlete, is stronger than all of us. It continues to get better and better. So we're really lucky to have those type of guys, and also have other guys that fill in the gaps that maybe we're not so good at, like Michael Prestipino. He's done an unbelievable job this entire year. Other polls, they're guys in the works. So it's been a lot of fun.
So thinking about your future plans again, you were picked by the California Redwoods with the last selection of the PLL draft. How does playing PLL lacrosse fit into your plans?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I love the PLL. I love the Redwoods. I mean, I think it's so cool to see the Virginia guys and you know, guys I've always, you know, grown up being big fans of playing professional lacrosse. And so would be really special to get to reunite with like Ricky and Jared, Chris Murrow, Bertrand, guys like that. So really fortunate to even have that opportunity. And I think for me, you know, growing up, I was always trying to be pretty realistic with myself. And like, you know, there was a point where I always thought, you know, oh man, I got to go to the NBA. Like the NBA is so sweet. All these things. And that's definitely the case. I love the NBA. I love watching professional basketball, professional sports in all sense. But I think, you know, I want to dedicate everything I have to the Stanford team after the season and basketball and give the best product I can and give the best effort I can. And I think adding value to the team can look a number of ways for me. It could be, I could go in every single day and be the best scout player that I can offer. I can help these younger guys that we're going to have, you know, understand how to, you know, guard certain guys or defend different looks and, you know, emulate as best as I can to some of the great players I'm sure we'll see in the ACC, or, you know, maybe I have a chance to actually compete to get on the court and add value in that sense. But either way, I think there's a lot of different avenues I can go with basketball for this next year. But I'd really love to get back to lacrosse eventually. And I'm just hoping to put my best foot forward for this next year with Stanford.
Your opponent this weekend, St. Joe's, the Hawks, you touched on them a little bit earlier in the conversation, but when you look at St. Joe's on film, the challenges they present, what do you see?
Yeah. We've watched a lot of film and, you know, I was watching this past weekend play against Richmond in their conference championship game. From an offensive perspective, I think they just have a lot of great athletes who are also really skilled lacrosse players. And obviously that's challenging to guard because, you know, you got to make sure that you're staying in front of them for their quickness, their speed, their strength, whatever it may be. And then they don't need much of, you know, a window of opportunity to make a great play because they're pretty slick lacrosse players. So that's something that we've got to be really good about containing, being aggressive on ball, making sure we have people that are ready to help and not too far off their guys so that we're, you know, covering up things inside. So that'll present definitely a great challenge for us and something that, you know, we're excited for offensively, or I guess defensively for them. I mean, I love the tenacity that they play with in their ride. They bring a lot of pressure there. It's something that we like to do as well. So that's, you know, a fun style of play. And I got a lot of respect for those poles running around the middle of the field. It takes a lot of effort getting side to side and making plays like that. So it'll be real fun to go against a fast-paced team like that.
Is there any team that you've played this year that you could parallel St. Joe's to?
It's a great question. I kind of think they take little elements from a bunch of different teams we play. Definitely most recently with Notre Dame, like their tenacity in the ride and their willingness to go for loose balls and try and make plays there. I think you can compare a lot of that to them. And then they got some slickness to them like Syracuse does, I think, on the offensive end. Whether they're, you know, setting picks up top, below, slipping, like looking for a guy inside, wherever it may be. So definitely different elements from teams we've played this year, and it'll be good.
All right, ready for some quick hitters?
Yeah, let's do it.
What's your go-to food spot on or around the Virginia campus?
A lot of good food spots. I'd say Pico Wrap. I'm a big breakfast burrito fan. Go there most mornings, so big fan.
Favorite all-time athlete?
Wow. I guess the most formative for me, it sounds kind of crazy, considering I'm going to Stanford now, but my dad played football at Cal, so I was a big Cal football fan growing up. Javid Best, unbelievable running back. Just his explosion and speed. He was amazing, so love that guy.
That's a great choice. I did not expect that. Did not expect that pick.
I was half thinking Ralph Sampson.
He's a legend too, so he'd be a good choice.
All right, if Dixie and I walked into the Virginia locker room, what song would we most likely hear playing?
Great question. Probably I Follow Rivers. It's an EDM song. Had a lot of EDM house music going on recently. Yeah.
All right. So you're in a charitable basketball tournament on campus, let's say, and you have to pick four of your teammates to go play hoops and try to win this tournament. Which four guys are you picking?
Yeah. We got some guys that can ball. We definitely do. Jack Walsh would be the number one pick, no doubt. He'd run the offense flawlessly. He's great. Was really good at St. Anthony's. Ben Ware also in my grade. Just an athlete, a beast. He can shoot it too. He's great. Mac Till's a really good basketball player, Colorado guy, played with some really good players back there. So that's three guys right there. We need a fourth and then myself. What am I taking with the last pick? Might have to take man. Mankey's pretty good. D Mac plays with a lot. He's not the best, but he gets it done. I think we take a big. I take Eli Petty. He's a freshman. He gets rebounds. He can finish inside. Has good touch. Take Eli.
You want someone who's not going to shoot. You want to be able to catch your shot. You don't want a ball hog. All right. What's the best book that Coach Tiffany has recommended for you?
Wow. We've read some good books in my time here, and he's really big on that. So that's a good question. As we read The Boys in the Boat this, you know, summer and discussed it a whole lot throughout the fall, I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was a fantastic tale of, you know, working through adversity. And I mean, rowing a crew is an incredibly difficult, physically draining sport. I didn't know to the extent of it. So I really enjoyed reading that. It was a little bit different from some of the, you know, typical books that we will read. So I enjoyed that a lot.
Who's the funniest guy on the Virginia lacrosse team?
It's got to be Tucker Mullen. Hey, yeah, it's got to be Tucker Mullen. He's a character. I love hanging out with him. He's always making me laugh and a really great guy.
What's the thing you miss most about the West Coast?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm lucky that my family comes out and watches games, and they've been out here a whole lot. So I'm really fortunate to have that. A lot of friendships, I would say, that I've had throughout high school and developed from middle school and on. Those are really special people in my life. So I'm looking forward to seeing them, some of them back home. I would say that.
Good answer. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Ooh. I'm not a, I like Taylor Swift. I respect Taylor Swift a lot. She's amazing.
You don't have to say that.
I'm not an avid Swiftie, and it was tough when the Chiefs beat the Niners in the Super Bowl. I was a little distraught about that.
Oh, yeah. This is the question that Dixie doesn't like.
Just like when the Chiefs beat the Ravens,
tell.
I feel your pain.
Yep, I know it. Feeling 22 is pretty hard one to beat.
Yeah. There you go. When you guys go on the road, where's your favorite place to eat? Like, what's your best team meal spot that you go to?
Great question. Like any, you're saying like any away trip?
Yeah, any away trip.
Cool. Well, we did go to Coach Tiffany's steakhouse in Syracuse, which is pretty sweet. His family steakhouse, which was a great meal. Could have been the best meal. Yeah, we had all year. So I got to say that.
That's the right spot. All right. And finally, what's your favorite lacrosse memory at Virginia?
Man. Thinking about this the other day, actually. I was talking with the first year about it, Will Urban. There's so many. Honestly, I hope my favorite one is still yet to come. You know, like we got a lot left to do here and a lot left to prove, and I'm confident we can do that. But you know, it's hard not to look back at that first year and my first year here and winning a national championship and having that feeling afterwards. But there have been so many amazing experiences here, and I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful for it. And I hope there are some more to come.
Cole, thank you so much for joining us on the D-Fly and Dixie podcast presented by Simplicity Group. Best of luck to you and the Cavaliers this weekend and throughout the playoffs.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
And we're back to the D-Fly and Dixie podcast presented by Simplicity Group. Cole's got options, lacrosse options, basketball options, you know, career options, bright future.
I don't get envious much, but young man, 6'7", I'll never know what that feels like or looks like.
Full head of hair.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just, on one hand, you're just like, wow, this guy's so impressive. On the other hand, you're like, USOB. I say that with peace and love.
Yeah, it was great getting to talk to him a little bit. And they have you know, exciting game coming up. Before we talk about the NCAA tournament, which is what everybody came here for, I want to talk about this one thing. The New Balance All-America Lacrosse event returns to Baltimore this summer. The prestigious North-South Senior All-America Games for boys and girls will be played on Saturday, July 27th at Johns Hopkins historic Homewood Field. The second wave of senior selections were recently announced, and the remainder of the All-America rosters will be unveiled over the next month. Be sure to check out InsideLacrosse.com for the announcements. High school athletes can also be part of the event by earning a place on a team roster in their region. Tryout sessions will be held in 12 different regions for the 2026, 27, 28 graduating classes this spring and summer. Players in the 2025 grad year are being invited and have the chance to prove that they deserve a place in the senior game the following year. Visit allamericalacrosse.com to find the schedule and register. Don't miss the chance to rep your region. All right, Dixie, mentioned earlier in the show, Sacred Heart into the NCAA tournament for the first time. On Wednesday night, they travel to Albany to play the Great Danes. UAlbany comes away with a 13-7 win, an impressive performance as they pulled away in the second half from the Pioneers.
And a little bit of a pattern that they had against Vermont in the America East Championship game. I like the way this Albany team plays. They're exciting. They play fast. Obviously, with Jake Pacino, we talked about him earlier, creating turnovers and leading breaks, and he plays extra man offense with a pole. I think it'll be exciting for folks to see him against Notre Dame, who their first round opponent will be this coming Sunday. So, you know, the tournament's off to a good start. And I know we've talked about it in the past, but, you know, tip of the cap to Sacred Heart making their first ever NCAA tournament appearance. People are like, well, they're in the playing game. Are they really in the tournament? Yeah, they're really in the tournament. They won. They earned it. They deserved it. And it was a good game, you know, against Albany. But the Danes advance, and much, much different Albany team than what we're used to in the past when the Danes would make the NCAA tournament, make tournament runs. You know, no Thompson brothers, no Connor Fields. You know, that's a J.D. Colarusso was their goaltender back in 18 when they made that run to Foxborough. So it'll be Danes are pumped playing with house money. They're still alive. Shout out Matt Kinnear, and should be a fun one against Notre Dame.
Yeah, crazy thing. Did you know that Jake Pacino was named the all-world defenseman at the World Games?
I had forgotten if I did know, but I can't even fully commit to tell you that, yeah, I was aware that he won that award.
I learned that for the first time last week, and I was shocked. I'm shocked. I'm watching the America East Championship game, and I was reading about it, and I feel like that should be out there. People should be talking about that a lot
sure.
more. That someone not only – because we certainly heard about Brendan O'Neill being named the most outstanding player. Maybe that's why. It's like, well, there's another college guy. But to be the best defenseman in the world and then go back and play in college. So they do – we talked about the Thompsons, and they do have sort of a high-end pro talent, generational kind of talent in Pacino mm-hmm. on their team. Who does a lot for them, a lot for them. And, yeah, really a huge success story and great to see the Great Danes back in the tournament. All right, let's get to Saturday's games. All right, there's 16 teams. As we normally do, we'll go through chronologically through the schedule game by game. All right, all these games are available on ESPNU. And they're basically each day there's games at noon, 2:30, 5, and 7:30. It's a smorgasbord of college lacrosse,
wall to wall,
every 2.5 hours. Just park yourself in front of TV or get out to a game and watch them all day long. First game of of Saturday, St. Joe's at number 6 Virginia. St. Joe's comes in, they're the champions of the Atlantic 10, 12-3 on the season, huge winning streak. We'll take on a Cavalier team that kind of hasn't won a game since April 6th. They haven't won a game in over a month, but they're at home. And as we saw when we talked to Cole, they're confident, they're ready, they got good vibes, and this should be a thrilling, fun game to watch.
12-game win streak for St. Joe's after dropping their first three contests of the season, and credit the Hawks for beating Richmond twice in 2 weeks. That's not easy. That's a Richmond team. It's really, really good. And this St. Joe's team is really fun to watch. Very balanced offensively. Levi Anderson, Carter Page, Matt Bomber, all with 40-plus points. Anderson with 55. And it's just a group that's tough. Coached by Taylor Ray, who played at Duke and was the head coach of the Canadian national team this last time around. And then you got Virginia, you mentioned it. And this is, we talk about this every year, like the fallout from the NCAA selection. They're like, well, Maryland, you know, they just got beat by 10 goals by Penn State. How are they the 7th seed? And they were ranked, they're ranked 11th now. The rankings have nothing to do with NCAA tournament selection. It's RPI, it's wins, it's other criteria. And, you know, Virginia, even though they've lost 4 games in a row, their RPI, incredibly strong. They've got quality wins throughout the season. You know, aforementioned Maryland, one of them. So they get a home game, and they slip to the 6, if you will. And this is by no means an easy matchup for Virginia. They're going to have their hands full. It's going to be a fast-paced game. St. Joe's likes to play fast-paced. They have a lot of two-way guys. So this will be a fun one at Klockner. Hopefully it'll be a good crowd. And this is one that people are like, you know, Virginia's probably going to win, but not surprised if St. Joe's can pull the upset.
In the 2:30 game, Utah will travel to Durham, North Carolina, take on the number 2 seeded Duke Blue Devils. Utah, 12-4, ASUN championship team, playing Duke, which made it to the ACC final and really had an incredible season. We sometimes look at some of the losses Duke had and we scratch our head a little bit, but really strong number 2 in the RPI and deserve that number 2 seed. And they will take on Utah at 2:30.
Duke is still Duke. And you scratch your head at times when you look at the loss to Syracuse, where they only score 4 goals, the loss to North Carolina to close the regular season, and a pair of losses to Notre Dame. But the Blue Devils looked awesome Friday night in their semifinal game at the ACC tournament against Syracuse. I love the little adjustment they made. They put Andrew McAdory back on attack and ran Dyson Williams out of the box. And it seemed to really fluster Syracuse. Jake Naso, their faceoff man, did not play last weekend. We'll see what his status is for this coming Saturday in Durham. But when you look at Utah, congrats to the Utes, second consecutive trip to the NCAA tournament. We hit on it a little bit earlier. You know, their experience against Notre Dame, losing in the NCAA tournament first round. What their head coach, Andrew McMinn, the first thing he did after Notre Dame won the national championship, he gave it a little bit of time, but then he called Kevin Corrigan and said, can we come scrimmage you guys in 2024? So they got right back on the horse, right back to the team that knocked them out of the NCAA tournament at the scene of the crime. Wasn't played in Orlada, you know, because of the weather. It was indoors, but they went right back at it. Ryan Steins is a special offensive player. He really set the tone in their conference championship game win over Jacksonville. And they've got guys who can play, you know, and they've suffered some injuries and now they're getting healthy. But Josh Rose is a terrific offensive midfielder. Jared Andrilia is very talented. And then their goalie, Colin Lenscode, a Wilton guy out of Connecticut, in his second year, has taken that step forward between the pipes. So this is a fun, fast-paced team. Should be an entertaining one. So Virginia, St. Joe's, that's Anish and Quint have that game. And then I'll be with Kevin Fitzgerald in Durham for this one between the Utes and the Blue Devils.
Should be a great one. In the 5 o'clock game, Michigan, champions of the Big Ten, will take on Denver, who's the 5th seeded team, who's 11-3. This game will be at Peter Barton Stadium in Denver. Denver, again, really strong season, surprisingly bounced early in the Big East tournament by Villanova, We talked about how sometimes the top seed having to go to a predetermined site, and it was Villanova, and the home team got the best of them that night. But they'll be rebound. And again, Michigan, Denver, 5 o'clock.
Pioneers, you know, how will they respond to that loss in the conference semifinals against Villanova? Some people feel like Denver's kind of come back to earth a little bit, that people have figured them out, but with extra time, you know, being a couple extra days to prepare, you know, for the NCAA tournament, and then you find out you're playing Michigan, you get them at home, you know, you better bet Matt Brown is probably a little bit more dialed in. Not that he hasn't been, but could be a little bit more dialed in. And then Michigan, again, the uncanny run. Michigan was a bid stealer again in 2024. Probably cost Penn an opportunity to go to, you know, Penn or Cornell, one of those Ivy League teams, probably cost them an opportunity to go to the NCAAs. But Hunter Taylor, their goalie, was magnificent in the win over Hopkins and then the championship win over Penn State. And we were just waiting for Penn State to turn it on Saturday night, get back in the game, and Michigan just didn't let them do it. So hats off to the Wolverines. They were down 6-1 to Hopkins, and then Kevin Connery called a timeout a couple minutes into the second quarter. And from that point on, the rest of the tournament, Michigan outscored their competition, Hopkins and Penn State combined, 25-5. So
shocking turn of events. You know, I was a crazy Hopkins fan watching the game, feeling pretty good when it was 6-1. Mm-hmm. Feeling really good. And then I just couldn't believe how Michigan just shut them down. And then, again, that Penn State score was just hard to believe that Michigan could beat them so thoroughly.
Yep. Yeah. So you start with this matchup at the faceoff dot. It'll be Alex Stathakis against Justin Wheatfeld. And then you build out from there. So Jay Alter, Jules Hennenberg will have the game from Peter Barton Stadium.
Yeah, Michigan is one of three road teams that are favorites in the betting lines. They're one and a half goal favorites over Denver in the early lines.
I hope you share the other two as we progress, because I'm not a degenerate like you with the gambling problem.
Well, I will, and it's the next team. So the 7:30, the nightcap for Saturday, is Princeton, champions of the Ivy League, taking on the number 7 seeded Maryland Terrapins, who are 8-5 on the season. Princeton's 11-4, and Princeton goes into this game as a 1.5 point favorite as well as the road team.
So first off, you know, hope Braden Irksa is doing well. You know, a scary moment in that semifinal game against Penn State where he had to be, helped off the field, taken off on a stretcher. But, you know, we saw he was released from the hospital that night, was able to travel back with the Terrapins to College Park. But I'm not covering that game, so not that I would anyway. I don't know his status for Saturday night. But this is a Maryland team that's struggling right now. You know, outside of Luke Wehrman and Ajax Zapatello, you know, I'm not really looking at anyone that's, you know, like on an upward trend right now, you know, for Maryland. And if Irks is not available Saturday, you know, what does that mean to them? But this is still a Maryland team that, you know, they're always dangerous. You know, they're going to be buttoned up and prepared. But Princeton, the momentum of winning a second consecutive Ivy League tournament. But remember, last year, they went to Penn State in primetime and got bounced by the Nittany Lions. So we'll see what this year's edition brings. But they were so impressive over the weekend in their wins over Yale and then Penn in the championship game. You know, this is a Princeton team that's young, and it's kind of scary because we were reminded watching Bo Pettersson play and watching Christian Ronda play and, you know, all the guys that aren't in the black and orange that were graduate transfers that left. What if they were a part of this Princeton team? What would that mean? So it should be a terrific game in prime time Saturday night.
So these teams did meet earlier in the season at Maryland. Yep. Maryland won 13-7. Luke Wehrman had an amazing day. Controlling faceoffs. Maryland had the ball possession almost all the time. It's been very interesting to see the evolution of Andrew McMeekin, the faceoff man for Princeton, who was the most outstanding player.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was the mop.
In the Ivy League tournament. I think that key matchup in this rematch will be the key matchup to watch as they play this one.
I agree. If Princeton can get possessions and put pressure on that Maryland defense, you know, because they didn't have the ball much, as you mentioned in that first meeting. Mike G, your boy, is going to have to be on point with the opportunities that Maryland is able to generate. So Chris Cotter, Paul Carcaterra, they've got it for you Saturday night to conclude day one of the first round on ESPNU.
And I plan to be down there to watch that one. Yeah. All right. Sunday, 12 noon game, Lehigh, champions of the Patriot League. Great story. New coach, a lot of changeover in that program. Win the Patriot League. They're 10-6. They'll take on third seeded Johns Hopkins, who's 10-4 on the season. This game will be at Homewood Field at high noon.
The Patriot League was such a tight race. You know, 1 through 6, anybody could beat anybody on any given day. And when you're going into that tournament last weekend at Army, I'm like, okay, Lehigh probably has the least probability to win this championship. And they just stick to a script of patient offense. They work deep into the shot clock and then just find a way to get the job done. You know, Scott Cole is their best player. But then you have guys like Dakota Yearman, who had huge goals, especially on Sunday in that win over BU in the championship game. And Will Scudder and his staff, just they have the Mountain Hawks believing. And, you know, they're going to come into Baltimore on Sunday to play a Johns Hopkins team that got a reality check in the Big Ten semifinals, up 6-1. And then from the 10:42 mark of the second quarter on, you score one goal. Jacob Angelus early had 4 assists. The rest of the game, I've never seen him play that poorly. And I'm going to stay on the hill of Jacob Angelus is the most essential component to that Johns Hopkins offense. I thought Chase Erland played very well. But this is going to be a game where, you know, Lehigh is kind of, I mean, no disrespect, kind of playing with house money. Going into the regular season champs and the most storied program in men's lacrosse history, and they're looking to spring the upset. So, you know, oftentimes we talk about losses can be great teaching tools, and you hope that the Blue Jays learned a lot from that semifinal loss and have a short memory and got back to work. And, you know, if you're a Blue Jay fan, you're like, okay, let's see it. So Anish and Quint have this one noon Sunday. Jays and the Mountain Hawks.
Yeah, for the Jays, it just seemed like a lot of just mental mistakes, sloppy mental mistakes. You can't make March mistakes in May.
And Hopkins, I know we've talked about this in the past, a very heavily penalized team. And they're going up against a Lehigh team that's pretty physical. You know, they play a physical brand of lacrosse. So we'll see what team can impose their will on the other on Sunday.
Fitting that this is at high noon on Sunday, Mother's Day. All right. In the 2:30 game, Penn State, 11-4 from the Big Ten, will take on number 8 seeded Georgetown, who's 12-3 on the season. Georgetown is the Big East champions, are in the automatic qualifier there. Again, this will be a great game. This is the third game. Penn State is the road favorite by a goal and a half in this one.
Okay. I'm thrilled that I'm doing Duke, Utah on Saturday. And I'm also equally, if not more thrilled that I'll be able to be available on Mother's Day for my wife, my mom, you know, on Mother's Day. But I am insanely jealous of Paul Carcaterra and Chris Cotter, who will get to call this game in person. This is the one. Out of all the great matchups that we have, this is the one that I'm like, man, this is going to be good. Saturday against Michigan, Jack Frassian was made to look mortal. He just struggled all game long. I expect him to up his game. Anderson Moore is the freshman from Alabama, who's had a terrific first year for Georgetown. Ty Banks, freshman defender, how will they respond, you know, to a win or go home scenario, which might have been the case last weekend in the Big East tournament. I mean, think about if Villanova would have won that thing in a game that Georgetown was up by what, five, six, seven goals at one point. Wildcats fought back, forced overtime. Georgetown wins the thing in the extra frame. But what would that have done to the field? Could Georgetown have gotten in as an at-large? Probably not. So they prevented Villanova from being a bid stealer. But this, you know, Graham Bundy, we talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's terrific. And Patrick Crogan, I think, is one of the more underrated players in the country. But this Penn State team, you know, they're smarting. And they were sweating it a little bit Selection Sunday as Penn kind of creeped into the discussion a little bit. I think the committee made the right decision going with the Nittany Lions. But this is going to be a fantastic game. I mean, this is going to be a really, really good game between two evenly matched teams. And who's gonna, you know, Frazier needs to be big, you know, but Penn State, they can't rely solely on number 50. And other guys are gonna have to step up. They're gonna have to face off well against Georgetown. And should be a great one.
In the 5 o'clock slot, Albany, 10-7, champions of the America East, winners of the first round game on Wednesday against Sacred Heart, travel out to South Bend, take on top seeded juggernaut Fighting Irish, who are 12-1. And as Patrick McEwen inside Lacrosse ran the numbers, he thinks that they're the best resume team ever. As in the modern NCAA
Wow.
tournament, in terms of their top wins, their RPI, their strength of schedule. What does Albany do to slow down Notre Dame or try to get a win on Sunday afternoon?
Lock the door to the Notre Dame locker room so the bagpiper can't get out and lead them onto the field. No, in all seriousness, big Scott Marr fan, and this Albany team is entertaining, you know, but you're right, they're going up against Notre Dame. And think back to a couple months ago when we're talking about the potential for Notre Dame to repeat. Kind of like, no way, you know, fake Tevlin gone. You know, some other key players from Notre Dame graduated. Pat Cavanaugh, no way he's going to make it through the season healthy. You know, the guy's put together with bubble gum and duct tape, you know, and he's got other weapons that have stepped up to support him. Not that he didn't have it last year, but you know. When can you look at a player like Eric Dobson for Notre Dame, who's absolutely sensational? He was drafted into PLL and be like, yeah, he's not even their best middie anymore. You know, that's a pretty nice luxury to have, whether it's an accurate comment or not. But, you know, Notre Dame, this team is for real. You know, we mentioned McAdory running out or playing attack really through Syracuse for a loop. Notre Dame didn't even bat an eye. They're like, okay, you're going to put them on attack. Great. Double donuts for McAdory on Sunday, who's a really, really good player. This will be a fun game. You expect Notre Dame to handle their business. Joe Beninati and Matt Ward have the call.
Does Notre Dame have a weak spot?
Not that I've seen. Not that I've seen. I mean, if anything, I'd point maybe to their shorties a little bit. And then if you can catch their defense on an off day, meaning like they don't really care about matchups. They don't really, you know, they're not fazed by this or that. Like if you can start winning an individual matchup, then if you win the matchup, you got to get past Liam Enteman
Yeah.
between the pipes.
Well, they are the heavy favorite going into not only this game but the whole tournament. And that game, it all starts for the Irish at 5 o'clock on Sunday, May 12th. And in the final game of the weekend, Towson Tigers, champions of the Coastal Athletic Association, they're 13-3. They have put together a fantastic season. Sean Nadelin and his crew, they'll take on the number 4 seeded Syracuse Orange, who are 11-5, at 7:30.
This is another one that you circle and say, wow, this is going to be a really, really good game. Because when you look at Towson, they thumped Delaware in the CAA championship game. I mean, they thumped them. And I had Towson early in the season when they played Hopkins. And Nick DeMayo, maybe one of the more frustrating players I've ever watched because he's never met a shot he didn't like. Didn't look healthy, didn't look very mobile. And all of a sudden, he's like, Mr. Assist Man. You know, he's like John Blatchley or Bob Grebe from Tiger teams of yesterday with his feeding ability. And wins the CAA Offensive Player of the Year. They also, Kobe Bars, defender, was drafted into PLL. Mikey Weishauer, terrific player. You know, a guy's going to be an All-American, one of the, you know, probably second or third team when it's all said and done. And Towson's a team that plays loose and they play fast. And that's exactly what, you know, the Dome is meant for. Teams to not be intimidated, not be awestruck, and just go in there and ball out. You know, this is a Syracuse team that was throttled by Duke this past Friday night, but still extremely talented. I think the faceoff is going to be huge. Both have really good faceoff men. Goaltending is going to be key. And tempo. You know, if this thing is high scoring, which I think it will be, who can outlast the other? Who can make the big plays? And there are a lot of funny things going on in social media, like the posts or the memes or whatever. I guess the PTSD that Syracuse fans might have from a couple years ago, 2017, when Syracuse beat them in the quarterfinals. The lasting image from that was the Cider Bomb, Joe Cider, with that freaking rocket from outside that tattooed the upper 90. This is going to be a great way to conclude things. Drew Carter, Ryan Boyle will have the call, and always fun to wrap up the first round at Cuse. They always, if Syracuse makes the tournament and they have a home game, you could always pencil in the Dome as being 7:30 Sunday night, and that's what we got again.
Yeah, great slate of games. Can't wait to watch these, each of these games. Again, make your plans for this weekend. And I hope you get to see as many games as possible. All right, Dixie, it's time for this week's Give and Go, presented by Indutex USA. Thank you, Big George, for the idea for this. You ready?
What do you got?
The month of May, we're going to do something called Maggiano's Madness. We're going to create our own bracket of the 16 best entrees on the Maggiano's menu.
We're going Maggiano to step up with some sponsorship, though.
No, they haven't, but maybe we'll go celebrate.
This is your reach out.
This is my plea to them to send us some gift cards. But we will, I've done some research, some pre-work here. I've got 16 of their top entrees that I pulled off the menu. There are more, but I think this is a good selection and variety. For instance, like, I know you don't eat seafood, but there's some that need to be on here in our 16. So I'll see how you vote. But we're going to seed these this week. We'll seed them from 1 to 16. And I'll create a bracket. And then, listeners can vote. But we'll go through each week and pick, you know, next week we'll pick the first round games. And then we'll get to like a quarterfinal round and a semifinal and final when the Memorial Day weekend comes around. But are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
All right. So I did some pre-work. I'm hoping you agree with a lot of this, but we'll see how it comes out. All right. My number one seed is chicken parm. And we talk about it all the time.
I mean, I think you have to go number one. Yeah. That's everybody's favorite. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best thing on their menu, but I feel like it kind of needs to be there. Right. All right. Second, Mom's Lasagna. This is one of their signature dishes. And it features a seasoned beef and Italian sausage, ricotta cheese, and the marinara sauce, right?
Okay.
Third, and this might be a little high, but chicken piccata. It's my wife's favorite dish on any restaurant we go to. It's capers, spinach, lemon butter, and spaghetti.
Yeah, I'm not a capers guy, so it wouldn't be on top of my list, but I'm not going to hate on that.
Do you want to bump it down?
It depends on whether or not you're going to get in trouble at home.
Oh, no, no.
If you are, then yes.
Come on. She doesn't listen to this. All right, I'll bump it down. I'll move it down a few.
Okay.
Again, some of it's just pulled from their menu. Next is the famous Rigatoni D, which is one of their specialties. It's herb roasted chicken, mushrooms, caramelized onions, and their Marsala cream sauce with rigatoni.
I can get into that. Yeah.
All right, we'll give that to 3C.
I guess my question would be, not being intimately familiar, do they have any vodka sauce or Fra Diavolo offerings, because those are high on my list.
There's a Fra Diavolo on here.
Okay. But not a vodka or a rosé sauce.
No, I don't really. I mean, I'm sure you get pasta with kind of sauce you want. But these are specific entrees that are listed on their menu. Okay. And for instance, you can get a steak. I didn't put steak on here. You can get salmon, lemon and herb salmon. I didn't.
Yeah, if I'm hankering for steak or salmon, I'm not going to Maggiano's for that.
And I'm sure they're delicious, but I put more of Italian oriented or pasta oriented thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Next is the chicken and spinach manicotti. Italian cheese blend and Alfredo sauce, and you can substitute in Alfredo with their truffle cream sauce if you like.
I don't like Alfredo sauce, and I'm not a cream sauce kind of guy, so it bumped down on my list, but if it's a favorite of yours, I got no problem you leaving it where it is.
I'm going to bump that down.
Okay.
I'm not a hater, but I just thought the manicotti is a little unusual.
Okay.
Because it's the only one that's sort of like that. I don't have a stuffed shell or anything on here. It's like the one stuffed thing. All right. Linguine di mare. No, you're not a seafood guy, but we need some seafood stuff on there because lots of people are. So this has lobster, shrimp, mussels, clams in a spicy tomato sauce served over linguine.
I can get into that. And for full disclosure, I'm not a seafood guy because I have a shellfish allergy that would lead to an anaphylactic reaction. So that's why I don't, it's not that I'm adverse to seafood. It's like, I can't eat it. So.
Right.
But if I could, I'd eat that. The spicy tomato sauce.
That's great. Right. There. All right. The next thing is again, it's one of their classic top things on the menu. It's their Taylor Street baked ziti, Italian sausage, tomato ragu, and mozzarella cheese in a ziti. That sounds so good.
Looks good.
And full disclosure, we're recording this at lunchtime on Thursday.
And I'm starving right about
now. I have not eaten anything all day. I'm starving. Yeah. So this is killing me.
What do you mean you haven't eaten all day? What are you doing?
I did. I had to get, I went to some breakfast networking meeting at 7:30 this morning. So it was a long time ago that I ate. All right.
So maybe you'd be into the intermittent fasting thing.
I should be, but I'm not. All right. Next thing is their four cheese ravioli.
Oh, count me in. Anything, okay. Anytime you combine cheese on cheese on cheese on cheese.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you put that ahead of the mushroom ravioli?
Probably.
So what I'll do is also when I do the final seating, they'll be in groups of, I'll make sure the little quadrants, four dishes don't, it's not like ravioli versus ravioli and like round two, like they'll be in different ends of the bracket.
You're going to reseed? So,
yeah, oh, no, I'll do a little slight reseeding so that they don't have to go off against each other in the first round. All right, so then I had put down the chicken piccata, the shrimp Fra Diavolo.
Fra Diavolo has me, man. Even though I can't eat shrimp, I would bump that up in place of the other ones that we said should be bumped down.
Ooh, okay. All right, so that's great right there. Then the next is spaghetti and meatball. I think everybody knows what that
classic.
Is. Classic. Mushroom ravioli next.
Okay.
Eggplant parm.
Yeah, I'm not my wife is allergic to eggplant and I don't eat it often, but I have had eggplant parm in the past and it's good. I like it.
How did she find out she's allergic to it, or does she just not like it? Because it's not something you eat a lot.
I don't know the story exactly. I just know ever since we met, she's like, I'm allergic to eggplant because I've had the shellfish allergy. So,
okay. I'm allergic to turnips then.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give me turnips.
You're allergic to Brussels sprouts.
No, I love Brussels sprouts. All right. Next is the chicken. I moved the chicken and spinach manicotti down there. And I moved the shrimp fettuccine Alfredo. Okay. Then this is a good one. This is one of their classics, rigatoni arrabbiata, the spicy sauce, which is just. So it's grilled chicken, spinach, and their spicy tomato cream sauce.
You kind of lost me at the spinach piece, but anything spicy is good for me, so I'm cool with that.
All right.
What about salad? No salad representation.
You can get a salad. Again, I needed 16 dishes.
Gotcha. But don't they have salad entrees?
I'm sure they do. But if you want a salad, don't go to Maggiano's. All right, and that was the 14. See, so then I have just two more left, right?
Okay.
Chicken francese and chicken marsala. or
Oh,
Marsalis.
Marsalis should be higher.
You think so?
Marsalis should be. Chicken Marsalis money.
Okay. You like that? Okay. I wasn't
I do
sure.
like
Some
it.
people, it's like,
Yeah, I the way I feel about Alfredo or cream sauce is people might feel that way about Marsala.
Okay, well, here's what I'll do. I will make sure, and then chicken francese is the Parmesan crusted lemon butter and crispy Vesuvio potatoes served with
Yeah, I could
asparagus. It
take or
actually
leave that.
sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I'll put there's so there's chicken piccata, chicken parm, chicken francese, and chicken. I'll make sure that they're in each different brackets. So
Okay.
like you know, they don't get, chicken marsala doesn't knock off chicken francese. But I think it's a good start, Dix. I think we have a good place here. And I like where this is going, and I'm really hungry.
Yeah, me too. The one thing I love about cheese, I mean Maggiano's too, is their dessert. Like they got really good desserts. Like their cheesecake is typically on point, chocolate cake. So, but we can talk about that another time.
And tiramisu.
I'll be
You're
your little tiramisu.
gonna get me with tiramisu every time. Like I'm not gonna
Okay.
pass it. All right, that seems like a good place to stop. Big thanks to our guest, Cole Kastner. Best of luck to you and your Cavaliers team. Also, a reminder that the D-Fly and Dixie podcast is brought to you by Simplicity Group. Simplicity Group is a leading financial products distribution firm that specializes in providing best-in-class insurance, investment, and business development solutions. To learn more, visit simplicitygroup.com. If you like what you heard, please like us on your favorite podcast app, leave a review. Better yet, tell a friend. Share the love. Crank this on the in-between songs at your tailgate this weekend. Put a little D-Fly and Dixie on there. Pass this on to a marketing person at Maggiano's if you know one. Whatever you can do to help the pod, we appreciate it. And we always love to hear from you. Feel free to email us at dflyanddixie@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dfly and Dixie and look out for our Maggiano's Madness bracket there as well. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and wives out there. Thanks for listening. And as always, enjoy the games.